The Solid Foundations Property Podcast is brought to you in association with Gap Property Investments, helping you getting a better return on your money in 2026 through property. Check out gappropertyinvestments.com. And also CitySTAYS, Ireland's leading provider of customized accommodation solutions, specifically designed for contractor teams working on projects. Check out citystays.ie.
And you're very welcome to an edition of the Solid Foundation Property Podcast. Of course, my name is Pádraig Kilfordy. And alongside me, as usual, I've got her back. It is, of course, the one and only Lisa O'Reilly. How are you doing, Lisa? It's good to see you.
How's it going, Pádraig? What do you mean you got me back? I've always been here. I've never been anywhere else. How are you keeping?
I know, you're just flat out. That's what's wrong with you times, you know? I'm very good, Lisa. I'm very good. I'm looking forward to the week ahead. The sun is going to be shining here in beautiful Donegal, so we're looking forward to that, you know. But all things good. And how are you anyway? How's your investment journey going for 2026? Since I last spoke to you, you were getting a few apartments, was it? Is that where you're at?
Yeah. So we're starting the work on the apartments there now. We started the work about 2 or 3 weeks ago. In Waterford. This is my last that I'm buying in Waterford now. So we've got a great guest on, and she comes from Waterford. But what's have to happening, I suppose, is that now I'm too many properties now in Waterford. So now we're looking at Dublin. So the next couple of purchases this year is going to be in Dublin. But yeah, that's going to be the last one in Waterford for a while anyway. Park.
Moving up the gears. Dublin,
moving up the gears.
That's great, Lisa, and delighted to hear that. And how's everyone in the CitySTAYS team? All going well as well.
Yeah, CitySTAYS. Yeah, so we provide contractor accommodation across Ireland, and yeah, it's flying, to be honest now. So the projects, because we're coming into the summertime now, so a lot of the outdoor projects, they can carry on because the wind and the rain's all kind of stopped, supposedly. So the projects are really now kicking off. So yeah, no, our houses are getting really busy again. So it's going all right. It's not coming without its problems and its issues. As the business is growing, we're getting a lot more we have to put our new systems in place. We're very we've got crappy systems, and we need to put all those in place, but we're working on those there now.
Yeah, very good. No, that's so true. Like, it is, you can get to a certain stage and you grow and you go, Jesus, where's the systems? And that's what breaks. I find that too, because you're juggling a lot of balls and you're trying to do everything and you're trying to do it right, and you miss something. And sometimes that can be, and when you're growing, it's cash flow. And when you're growing, it's team. And when you're growing, it's not the opportunity, because everything's there. It's just the other aspects as well. And I love all that. It's great crack, because you just be stressed out altogether. Throw on a wedding, throw on the first communions there last weekend I had, and it's all good. No, we're going well here in Northern Ireland as well. Got our latest our latest project finished, and now it's tenanted, thankfully, and the tenants are in. Again, it's always at the end of a project where you realise, Jesus, I have to get this. And you have it well, you know, the Excel document sheet out, and you're going, yeah, I got this. And then you go, flip, I forgot that. But no, we've got that one finished, and now we're on to the next one. It's nearly finished as well. So I was actually looking at TVs and things like that this morning to see what we can get, what kind of deals we can get there as well, and that, Lisa. So it's all going well. And I say, 2026, again, it's like everything, as you said, there is challenges out there in the market. Ireland didn't actually close. I know, I suppose we're going to dig into this a little bit more with our special guest on today as well. When you look at the Irish market, the Northern Irish market as well, there were signals, I know, that interest rates were going to go up, and they were going, holy God, with this war, what are we going to do? Close the doors. Actually, have gone down a wee bit in the UK from what I was reading yesterday as well. And so that's interesting to see. So there's all that different, you know, dynamics that are happening, and as you've always referenced, Lisa, stick to your own demographic in that particular area and worry about that. Do you see any trends, suppose, in the Irish market where you are specifically as well, currently under that?
Still seeing, you know, so we're still seeing upward prices, but not as aggressively. So there are better deals out there than now. A special guest can kind of confirm this for us, but we're finding that we can get some good deals out there. Now, I am also looking at the UK because I just think there's a massive opportunity at the moment in the UK. That, you know, their prices are actively kind of going down and more so. So I am kind of considering looking over in the UK in the not so short distant future. I looked at a couple of houses there in Dublin, and we can make some of those deals work, but we make them work with our model, you know, which is the contractor model, the HMO model, you know, the short term type stuff model. It can be difficult to make the stuff up in Dublin work for, you know, standard rentals because the prices are so high. So, yeah, it's just a matter of just running the numbers on everything that we're doing, you know, and just making sure that they work.
Absolutely. And that's it's good to hear you're going to the UK, because, of course, you go to Peterborough, I go to Manchester, and it's so interesting to see the different dynamics, and I work in the UK as well. So the market is, there's still a massive housing crisis in the UK, but there's not the building is the issue, you know, because of material prices. That's what's driving that market down a lot. Now, working in the merchant sector, we would see a lot of those trends, and those are the reasons behind it, is materials that are causing the issue, and also not only getting good trades, but it's the cost of getting trades as well. So redeveloping property, you know, bringing back old stock, there's so much opportunity there with that. But anyway, I mean, you could chat for ages about that. And suppose we will maybe delve into that again. We're heading to the UK. That's great to hear. Well, I'm delighted to say we are joined by a woman on a mission. When I spoke to her enthusiasm for your native Waterford, Lisa, is inspiring to see. A lady called Regina Mangan, founder and MD of Liberty Blue Agents in Waterford. She's worked in the Irish property sector for over two decades, and I do believe Liberty Blue has gone over 30 years. Three decades, so cheapers, there we go. She's also described as an author, a speaker, and an organizer of an amazing event. I can't get down to it. I'd love to fly down. The 2026 Real Estate Agency Summit in Waterford, Lisa. She's some lady. Let's welcome her on. Regina Mangan, how are you? You're very welcome to the Solid Foundation.
Thank you for that amazing introduction, Pork and Lisa. I really appreciate it. And I'm delighted to be here chatting to you on this wet day.
Well, the sun is shining.
It's the summer, Regina. It's the summer. What are you talking about?
We are on sunshine. You see, it's shining here.
Always is. And Regina, suppose we got you on, of course, because of your amazing event. You've took a huge leap, and fantastic to see this event coming to Ireland. And we did note it. It's not in Dublin. It's outside Dublin. So it's good to see it's in Waterford. But we'll come to that very shortly indeed. For our listeners who don't know who you are, Regina, tell us a little bit about yourself and your experience in the property sector, which I do believe you've a lot to tell us, huh?
Thank you. Well, I set up the business, guys, in 1997. So next year, that's 30 years. And I set it up with £7 in the bank. And remember, we even had a different currency back then, punts. And back in the day, there were no mobile phones. There was no Google. There was no Facebook. It was a different world. And I set it up with the help of the local enterprise board that gave me a grant for £10,000. And I got an overdraft from Bank of Ireland of £10,000. It felt like millions to me now, to be honest. Millions. And I actually ran at a loss for 7 years. So the business that I set up is called, my trading company is Booker Room, the accommodation company limited. We were going to book rooms, probably do a bit of what you're doing, Lisa, renting rooms. But you start off with a business plan and then it completely changes and evolves. And so we were the first property letting and management company in the Southeast back then. And I had seen a gap in the market when I was managing an apart hotel. People were always ringing me to see if there was anywhere to rent. And at the time, auctioneers, because we didn't call ourselves estate agents almost 30 years ago, everyone was called an auctioneer, didn't do rentals. So saw a gap in the market, set up the business and ran it last for 7 years. So you're the accountant, Lisa. How do you survive 7 years in business are running a deficit? I got a load of part-time jobs. So I I ran an event management business that I called Blue Chip Marketing Events and ran conferences and golf classics. I'd never played golf in my life. I became an agent for Stennis Sea Laying. I did bookings for holiday homes in West Cork. It was quite stressful. I ran the Maritime Festival for about 3 years, did the bookings for the functions, all the events, the PR. I did a secretarial course after school, so I didn't have any qualifications, but I guess I always had a grow for marketing and running events. Logistics is my thing. And obviously it was before technology and a massively, massive different world. So then all of those side hustles kept the business going. And then the opportunity hit when Railway Square apartment block was built. So we were positioned, we were in the right place at the right time for all these apartment blocks. And then we were able to win a contract for a development that was the 111 apartments and a commercial units underneath that we managed in conjunction with Savills. So we were there, I suppose, as they say, luck is the opportunity meeting preparation. And then I was able to get rid of all those side hustles and just focus on the main thing, which was rental and property management. And we were absolutely flying then, making loads of money for 1 year, 5 minutes, and then the crash happened. So it's like, but the one thing I did learn, because I had no money for so long, when I had all these guys saying it's a no-brainer, you need to invest in this and you need to buy your building, it's only a million, we do the numbers, and they were like this on the calculator. I said, no, I need to be able to sleep at night in my bed, and I need to have finances and financial comfort. For me, that's everything. I was never going back to that. So we were able to get through the recession, but it was mentally very tough because our business, we managed over 400 properties at the time, and all our clients were enormously impacted. We had a handful of clients who died by suicide. I'd had a gentleman in the back of my car who died by suicide, and he'd outbid Richard Branson on property in Dubai. That was the level of what was going on. And so when we would ring our landlords, our property owners with maintenance issues, I mean, we were like the baddies ringing. You know, we were everything that was associated with the crash. We were everything that was associated with absolute genuine hardship in people's life. It was a brutal time. I remember going to meet a client in Cork, and our fees were decimated when I left the meeting because they shaved a load of, they shaved quite a percentage off our fees. I remember getting into the car, holding the steering wheel, roaring, crying, oh my God, how am I going to get through this? And then I did slap myself on the arm and went, cop on, you still have the business, you know, focus on what you have, right? So it was a tough time. So I revamped the office and I created a beautiful office, which is like a sitting room. The guys used to call it the therapy room. And I used to say, right, we're going to create a safe hub in here and we're going to be really optimistic and we're just going to ignore what's going on outside, because your mental health is everything if you want to get through really tough times. And then obviously, like every crash, it doesn't last forever. And then we decided that we would try property sales, because no point in doing it during the crash. Nobody was buying anything. And we started, and the first listing we got was my hairdresser's property. She'd had it with another agent 3 months, and we had a sale agreed in 7 days. So that was all about the property presentation, decluttering, presenting it properly, all the skill sets that we had acquired over the years in the rental property management business. So we rebranded then as Liberty Blue Estate Agents 11 years ago. There's the branding, because nobody would want a sign that says book a room outside their house for sale. And so the business has evolved from property rental, property management to property rental, property management to selling secondhand homes, selling new homes. And during COVID then, we pivoted again and after all the work we put in during COVID with our marketing, from our gardens, from a place where you're thinking nobody's watching. And my husband used to laugh, I'll wash my hair, put on my makeup, go on camera and have to do my thing. And I didn't really feel like doing it every day. It was really hard, you know, but did it. We stayed consistent to the plan. And then on the back of it, we won a new homes development because of our digital marketing and what we were doing and the communication that we were doing. We dialed it absolutely up during COVID. When a lot of people went quiet, we went noisy. So that's where we're at today. We have a nice business mix, which I think is very important, because I was listening to Ray Cook's podcast with you guys and he spoke about business mix. I think that's so important. So it's the rentals, the property management, the maintenance, fit out, and the sales of new homes and second-hand homes. So that's where we're at today.
Some story.
Brilliant. Yeah, it is some story, Regina. And I suppose, so now, what are you seeing now, Regina, in the market? So you do you primarily focus on Waterford? And what are you kind of seeing now in the market? Are prices going up, down, investors? Is there a bit of a sentiment for investors leaving the market? What are you seeing at the moment?
So we cover Waterford City suburbs, South Kilkenny and West Waterford, because I live in Onrhyme and John, my colleague, lives in Stradbally. Look, it's like every market, it's all a bit different. It's not a one size fits all. People talk about the Dublin market and investors and rents going up. There is a ceiling in Waterford because, as you pointed out, Lisa, it's an affordability issue. You can't expect people to pay more money than they have. And like, there is a ceiling. I think it's really probably at the, for apartments, it's probably 1550 for a two bed. Sometimes you're getting 1800, but anything over 1800 is difficult. You might get 2000 for, yes, some houses. Then you see some people advertising crazy rents. But for us, when we rent, it's not just the highest price. It has to be about the person you're renting to. You want to make sure that you're not packing them in, you've got great references, and they're going to look after the property. So what we're seeing at the moment in terms of secondhand homes, there's quite a lot of bidding going on for properties that are presented really well. You spoke about Porrick, you know, the cost of building, the cost of renovations, you know, properties that need a huge amount of work don't generate the same level of interest because people are nervous and they were nervous about getting contractors. But turnkey properties fly out the door, anything from 5 to 10% over asking. In terms of investment properties, huge value in Waterford, particularly around apartments. So I was saying to Porrick before we came on that when the crash happened, I believe Waterford probably fell further down the cliff than most other locations. So when in Cork and Limerick, they stopped falling down the cliff, ours kept falling. So we went to a far lower drop, a far lower base. So for example, apartments in the city centre that would have sold for shy of 400,000, which were all Section 23, obviously inflated by the tax break, they were then selling during the crash for 30,000. 30,000, 10% of what people paid for it. It's insane. Nobody would buy them then because confidence, let's face it, drives the market, and there was no confidence. So now those same apartments are probably selling for around 160. You would not build an apartment for 160. It just is not possible. And like, so we're seeing a serious uplift for our clients who bought apartments in the last 2 years, serious, really good capital appreciation, higher rents, and overall strong opportunity in Waterford. Now they're slim pickings, to be fair, these apartments, and there's certain blocks that I would advise people to invest in and other ones I would stay clear of. In terms of secondhand homes, again, anything that's urban within close proximity to schools, medical amenities, gyms, all of that fly out the door. Rural properties are slower than those type of properties. So it's not a one size fits all.
Listening to you, and suppose this is a, you know, it's an Irish UK problem. You know, there's never been so much demand. How has both areas, specifically that we look at now, it's the million-dollar question here. How can supply, Regina, start to get to a place where it's meeting demand? It's never going to happen by a lot of the commentary around it, you know. But what can investors do, local investors, like myself and Lisa and different people listening in, what steps can they take to try and help out with this predictor? Because I think, Lisa, from the point of view, some people go for derelict, some people don't. You know, what do you think, Regina, needs to happen here?
Well, interesting you should ask that. There is an agent based in Cork City called Michael Powell, Powell Property, and he has a sort of a very good business model where he provides expert consultancy service to investors. He'll identify a derelict property, and then he will project manage it in conjunction with experts in their field, surveyors, planners, architects, and then charge a fee for doing that. And I think for most people, it's quite a painful process. It's not something that people tend to do outside of their work life. It's very much a professional process. It's too daunting, I think, for regular people.
The Solid Foundations Property Podcast is brought to you in association with Gap Property Investments, helping you getting a better return on your money in 2026 through property. Check out gappropertyinvestments.com. And also CityStays, Ireland's leading provider of customised accommodation solutions, specifically designed for contractor teams working on projects. Check out CityStays.ie.
And planning. I was just saying, Lisa, from that perspective, Regina has just identified a couple of things there, all right? And I think we kind of go like planning is probably one of them. Trades is another. It's just managing those, Lisa, at times.
That's it, you see. And so personally, I think, Regina and Paul, correct me, like if you don't have the same opinion as this, but I think with the new, and we haven't touched on this yet, with the, you know, the regulations and all the red tape that the, especially since they will, the new rules have been brought in March this year, I don't know if property investing in Ireland is as good as a pension pot for somebody who's only doing maybe one or two and they just want to have it as a pension pot, versus somebody who's going to do this as a treat it as a business, you know, like more serial kind of investors who know what they're getting themselves in for. If they are doing it as a one as a pension pot just for themselves, like just two corporate workers and they just want to have a pension pot, then I would 100% advise them to go via a letting agent to manage it for them, because I just think it's a minefield at the moment. And you know, I've had RTB cases brought up against myself, and even though they went my way, which was very unusual, because I know that the RTB is very much in favour of the tenants, and these two particular cases both went my way, but it's very it's stressful, you know, and it's not for the faint-hearted. So would you agree, Regina, that it's kind of like it's a bit of a minefield, and that you'd possibly want to have a lot of research done before you got into the property market?
Okay, so as somebody who's bought a couple of properties personally out of my own pension, I know I'm in the sector and I know it inside out. One, you actually have to, if you buy property through your pension, you have to have it managed at arm's length. So I actually have to go to a different agent because it's conflict of interest. But for me, like I bought a property a couple of years ago and it's already appreciated by 60,000 in 2 years, right? Just after inputting 10,000 renovation into it. So there are two things there to that question, Lisa. One, I think to buy a property through your pension is very smart. The right property, I don't think the numbers stack up on houses. I think they stack up mostly on apartments where you can get an 8 to 10% yield. Like, for example, we had somebody buy a two-bed apartment in McConnell House for his pension only last week, 195,000 two-bed, he'd get a 9.5% gross return, and he'll do that through his pension. And as we know, the beautiful thing about buying through your pension is, one, when you sell, you don't pay any capital gains tax. So if your asset appreciates over 10 years by 100,000, I'll throw it in for roundy off six, then that's 100,000 you extract directly out without any tax liability. The second
Regina, with that you extract it into the pension pot, but sorry, then in order to extract the money out,
you extract it into the pension pot, but let's face it, you're only paying one form of tax, because if you're paying tax from your company directly into your pension, it's not taxed at source. So most people, if they're buying privately, are actually paying double tax, because they're paying the tax on the income that they're using to buy the property, and then they're paying tax on the rental income. So as you know, you don't pay any tax then on the rental income through your pension fund. You pay your tax when you extract it out of the fund. So it's very, 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 very tax friendly. And I love the fact that you don't pay any capital gains on it. So needless to say, I think the biggest issue around the legislation is the 6-year rule, that you cannot give a tenant notice within 6 years. I don't think Irish people like to be told what to do about their property. I think that's the biggest problem. I think if they had put in 3 years, I think it would be a lot more palatable by people. And then on the back of it now, we've seen 7,000 notices in the first 3 months of the year. And it's just insane. Everything they've done has actually driven more suppliers out of the market, which means the supply level is squeezed. And we need rental properties for a functioning economy. We need it for our health service, because the majority of our staff running our hospitals, amazing people, fly into Ireland from another country and they need to rent. They will not buy a house the minute they put their foot on Irish soil. That just does not make sense. So it will impact the health system, and we are all entitled to a roof over our heads. But it's just crazy. It makes my blood boil, the situation around rents. And obviously the price of rents, that's just crazy, that the average rent in Ireland is over 2,000 euros. I mean, that's insane.
It's just crazy, is right. Look, there's so many different faculties to all of that, you know, and it probably brings in the aspect of where there's getting that opportunity. Lisa, you need to brace yourself too. So you need to know what you're doing if you are thinking of getting into the property element as well as you move. And suppose when there's that tax incentive as well, Lisa, you kind of identified something there. There's tax if you take it out of your pension, obviously, but there's no tax if it goes into your pension.
Basically, the whole idea of buying a property in a pension, it is great. The capital appreciation happens tax-free within the pension pot, but you need to treat the pension pot like its own separate entity. So the money goes in tax-free, and then this capital appreciation tax-free. But then if you want to sell the property or extract those rental incomes, that has to be taken out, and that is at your personal rate of tax. So when there's X amount that you can take out tax-free, and then after that, then it will go at your marginal rate of tax. Overall, definitely it is a tax saving, but it's not like some people kind of say that it's tax-free and it's like a complete haven. It's not. Like, you will have to take that money out, which is at your marginal rate of tax. But I suppose the way I was kind of coming at this was, you know, it's great that, and I think I saw, because we're renting houses as well as part of City Stays. And what we found was around that time, on the lead up to March of this year, there wasn't properties to rent. It was very hard to get hold of properties. Mm-hmm. And then when March hit, all of a sudden there seemed to be a big load of properties available to rent at much higher prices, you know. So we were, because rent is a cost to our City Stays business, you know. So we found that. This was what I was trying to get out with Ray Cook on the last podcast then as well, was like, it's all well and good getting that high rent. And we think we're all going to get the yields and these high rents. But what happens when something happens to one of those rent payers, and there's something happens with their job and they can't afford to pay anymore. All of a sudden, then you've got, it's all well and good doing all your due diligence on someone, but the way the rules stand is that if something happens to one of those rent payers and they lose their job or they go through hard times and they refuse or just they refuse to pay, the system has it set up where us as investors could be sitting up to 18 months with no rent being paid, but yet we've got to pay the mortgage on those. So I just find it really difficult to find out, unless you are either going to get into this as a business in Ireland at the moment, or you're going to, you know, you get lucky with tenants, and or you use a really good letting agent to make sure they've vetted tenants and, you know, they've had a long-term relationship with these tenants. I just think it's a really kind of a risky business to get into. Would you agree with that, Regina, or?
I hear you. So you've got to manage the risk. So the what I would say is, one, you made a point earlier, Lisa, which is very important. Renting is serious business now, and people doing it as a kind of a hobby renters, that day is in the rear window. You have to know the legislation inside out. Actually shocks me how many people renting out properties have no understanding of the legislation. I still hear people saying, I'm going to do a 1-year lease. Sorry, no such thing. So you do need to hire a really good agent. It's like anything. Doctors differ, patients die. You need to check out the agents. You need to make sure you get a really good one. And I would say to anyone even engaging an agent, ask for the file on who they're renting to. You know, just it's very important that you four-eye that. It's all about the person you rent to. And it's not always the person with the fabulous job that turns out fabulous. Sometimes you can have people with mental health issues, addictions. We've seen it all. Rent properties on paper look very, very good. That's why then we do a deep dive into their social media and a little bit more than that. I can genuinely say that probably only 1% of our tenancies, we manage in the region of 300 now, are problematic. We're good at spotting people. We have had a couple of problems since people started, but they move on. We have a chat with them. We do everything legally and above board. But, you know, also tenants have to understand that if there is a case and they want to watch their reputation, there'll be an online thread about them, RTB. It'll be very hard for them to find another property if they leave a trail of devastation. So all in all, I'd be inclined to agree with Ray. You know, it's, you rent, you go through the process, and if people, like we had a situation with a tenant who actually was dealing drugs and he has a high profile job, and just had a little chat with him and he left. So obviously I can't get into the conversation, but no. It's just at the office and we motivated him to leave. And that's what you can't beat. You can't beat experience, you know. And I think that would be very stressful for someone trying to do it themselves. And back to tax, agent fees are tax deductible. And over the years, I have seen people skimp on paying an agent. They didn't want to pay for the fees. And then the rent pressure zone came. And guess what? They hadn't increased the rent. So the money they saved on fees ended up costing them a fortune.
Yeah.
Because no rent reviews being done. So you just have to be in front of it all the time.
Yeah, and that's exactly it. And it is, as Lisa pointed out, it's a business now. It's not just I'll get a couple of properties and we'll rent them out and away we go. But look, you've been at it over 30 years and you have a serious drive and a serious passion for it. So much so, she stepped back into the events. I kind of twigged that you had a bit of experience in that, and we can see why, Lisa, because setting up the Real Estate Agency Summit in Waterford is coming the 11th of June to the fantastic. I was in Waterford once, you know, and she, you know, Lisa took me to a beautiful cafe. We got a nice cup of tea and a beautiful salad, you know, not six rounds of drink this time, Regina, which has happened in the past. But look, this is an amazing to see this, Lisa, kicking off. Someone who's got bringing positive energy to the property market in Ireland for once. It's great to see it. Yeah. In your hometown.
we don't often have things like this. And I've said it, I was ringing everybody that I kind of knew in the industry to say, look, you know, would you be interested in coming? And yeah, we don't often get things like this, especially come to Ireland, especially come to Waterford. So Regina, we're really grateful for you to bring something like this to Waterford. So do you want to just explain something about this expo?
Thank you. I appreciate that, Lisa. And thanks for supporting it and booking your tickets. You were one of the first, so that's amazing. I decided on the 17th of January over dinner that I would organize this summit if I could get a couple of key speakers, number one being Tom Panos. I was fortunate that last summer I had the opportunity to have dinner with Tom in London with my mentor, Sanjay, and his wife. And so I said, would you come to Waterford, Ireland, and do a conference for me? He said, yes, I will.
The Solid Foundations Property Podcast is brought to you in association with Gap Property Investments, helping you getting a better return on your money in 2026 through property. Check out gappropertyinvestments.com. And also Cities Days, Ireland's leading provider of customized accommodation solutions, specifically designed for contractor teams working on projects. Check out citystays.ie.
And then I took the dive, had the call with him, booked him, and then got some other amazing speakers. They all said yes straight away. That's Kirsty Franks, who's the UK's top real estate marketing guru. Richard Rawlings, who is amazing, who basically advises agents on how to do a buyer's light program for buyers, which is another revenue stream for buyers or for agents. We've all these buyers on our books and we're not providing a service to them. It's a massive lost opportunity. And I guess a lot of people, you know, because we don't do it every day, there's a bit of, oh, how do I do that? How do I package it? How do I price it? How do I not spend ages driving around and not getting paid for it? Anyway, Richard's a guru on that. Matt Giggs, I saw a photo of you at a dinner with Matt Giggs one time, Lisa, at the same table in the UK. He's an amazing guy. He mentored me for a while. He's had a podcast. He's like an influencer in the UK in real estate, and he's his own business, Matt Giggs & Co. He's a phenomenal character. So amazing, amazing speakers and two former Olympians, Roger Black and Steve Backley, all about mindset, because let's face it, everything is about mindset. And I spoke about the recession and how we got through those very dark days when our clients were really suffering. So I've been going on an airplane to the UK for the last 10 years to learn, to be inspired, because I'm the owner of a small independent estate agency. It's my job to bring in the information and to inspire my team. And I'm absolutely rubbish at technology. I told Park that, but I am passionate about technology because everything is about processes and systems in a successful business. So on the back of those trips, we've invested in a brilliant tech staff. I've had amazing mentors. I'm part of amazing mastermind groups. And that is what gives me the information to help us drive Liberty Blue on all the way. And so I've been saying, here I am going over here, totally inspired and excited about what I learn and what we implement because it works. And there's nothing in Ireland like it. Because we're heavily regulated, which is hugely important for the consumer and the industry, there's probably been very little focus on development, digital marketing, growing your fees, the business of running an estate agency, all of that. So I thought, you know what, put your money where your mouth is and do it. And then when I thought about the venue, it had to be Waterford because that falls within our mission, you know, to showcase Waterford as a great place to live.
And I did a wee cheer there because I'd say between the three of us, with more flights over and back to the UK. Lisa was over every month. Well, she did anyway. I'd be over and back all the time. So bringing that back, that energy, and that's what I love. There's so much negativity about Ireland and about property and about investing and bloody hell, God forbid we did, you know, better ourselves. So Lisa, we love to hear that. And bringing the summit to Ireland and to bring it with the caliber of speakers is something, it's fantastic, isn't it?
And can I jump in and say that without the sponsors, it wouldn't be possible because I front loaded a lot of the expenses and we have My Home as our platinum sponsor. So I'm like absolutely massively grateful to them because to be fair, Joanna Geary was like super positive from the outset and her team have been brilliant with getting publicity in the Irish Times and the Irish Examiner, that's really helped level up the kudos for the Real Estate Agency Summit. Giraffe 360 are one of our sponsors, a new piece of technology that they have that will blow agents' minds. It's actually going to be launched in Waterford, Europe. It's already in the States. So at the summit, we've got Gallagher, who basically provide global insurance service, and they insure all our cyber. And we have Stage My Home, Vanny is amazing. And we have Waterford City and County Council. So absolutely forever indebted to them. And I think we'll have somewhere in the region of 200 people in the Theatre Royal on the 11th of June. And we still have tickets available. See my cherry link under the podcast.
Well, and if you get us all your sponsors as well, we'll give them a good old mention or give them a wee tag as well on the podcast. So brilliant, Lisa. Amazing. Well done to Regina.
No, it's really good. And one thing I'd like to add as well is about going over to the UK. So whilst I come back and I'm kind of like, you know, let's be realistic about the market here. At the same time, there's a massive opportunity in Ireland, because in England, there's so many more people doing the whole marketing, the personal branding, you know, putting themselves out there. You come over to Ireland and there's very few people that would do it. They don't like to put their head above the parapet because everybody knows everybody, and what would everybody think of us? So there is that. I think that coming back to Ireland, there's a massive opportunity there because there's not that many people doing it. So going to an expo like this and listening to people who are not scared about putting their head above the parapet, are, you know, they see the importance of marketing and about how to grow the business. I think it's a massive opportunity over here. It's brilliant to have it. So thanks a million, Regina.
Thank you. And I think you're absolutely right. There's a huge, huge opportunity to stand out. I'm lucky I grew up in a house where my mother told me, Regina, no one's interested. The only thing that people actually really care about is themselves. So for anyone listening who doesn't put themselves out there, isn't on social media, I think you cannot be in real estate in the current world without actually having a digital footprint. You will be left behind if you don't move forward. No doubt about it. We'll have all these young guns biting at our tailcoats very soon.
Yeah, Lisa loves the old camera now and again. I do see it. Lisa, where are we getting a video of this place, this apartment? Where are we going? What are we getting?
Well, okay, listen, I tell you, I've gone so inconsistent. And this is what you mentioned earlier, Regina, about being consistent. I have gone so inconsistent recently. And I need to realize that all of my earlier successes at the beginning was all stemmed from social media. So I need to get back on that bandwagon now and go, do you know what? Social media works, but I just need to stay consistent. And that is something that I definitely struggle with. Porrick, you're right. I've not done much, but I do need to jump on this bandwagon.
What
gets diary gets done. Just put it in the diary and do it, you know.
I do.
And as I say, it's one of the necessarily evils that you have to do now. You just show up and tell people what you're doing and have a go at it, you know. But again, Regina, it's been an amazing 40-odd minutes now. We've spoke about you, your journey in property, where you've come from, the hustling that you had to do and to get out of the dreaded 2008 times. We'll just leave that negativity there. But there's huge opportunity in the Irish market. There's huge opportunity in Waterford as well. And Lisa, I'm going to have to chat to you about this Waterford market, because I do believe there's some opportunity down there. No, don't be shaking your head.
Stay away. Nothing to see down here.
You're going to the UK. You're going to the UK.
Mark, you need to talk to the right person. You have my number.
Yeah, I definitely do, Regina. Well, look, come here. It has been amazing, Regina, speaking to you. The enthusiasm, as I said, for people that are out there listening, Just bring on that mindset of you can do. And before I let you go, Regina, you read something to me and Lisa about what you have in your office. Can you just read it for us, so our listeners will hear it as well?
I'll just actually show it to you. So we strive to bring happiness to our customers, our colleagues and our community, to be helpful experts and champions of Waterford, a great place to live. And that's really important for us, because it actually is our compass. So in all our digital marketing, it's about being helpful experts, giving free advice, always pushing Waterford. And, you know, if you make your customers happy, then the money will follow. And then you need a good vibe. And one last thing, Sina, as you asked, everything goes back to values. And we have to remind ourselves. So for us, it's always about doing the right thing. Even when it's especially tricky,
yeah,
we do the right thing. take pride in all we do. So no bins in the front of houses. Happen once, never again. And we're always striving to innovate and improve.
Well, for our listeners, Regina just took us out into her office there, showed us her values, and it's impressive, Lisa.
Very much so. Yeah, no, delighted to have you. Thanks so many for coming on, Regina.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it. And see you all on the 11th of June at the Theatre Royal at the Real Estate Agency Summit. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye.
The Solid Foundations Property Podcast is brought to you in association with Gap Property Investments, helping you getting a better return on your money in 2026 through property. Check out gapropertyinvestments.com. And also Cities Days, Ireland's leading provider of customized accommodation solutions, specifically designed for contractor teams working on projects. Check out citystays.ie.